Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, November 15th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and the new Ford Fiesta. With an EPA estimated 40 highway miles per gallon, no other compact car is more fuel efficient, and fuel economy is just for starters. The 2011 Ford Fiesta, Ford invites you to drive one at a dealer near you. And by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or visit slingbox.com/twit. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where I don't interrupt Jason when he's introducing himself.
Thanks.
I apologize.
That's okay. You were probably just going to say, Darren, and I'm first. Jason Howell for me.
Yeah.
Allow me to concentrate on other things.
Let me take that. It was like shot one.
So this morning, Mark Zuckerberg got on stage and proved once again that he's nothing like the person in the movie and announced the Facebook messaging service will be rolled out slowly over the next few months, starting as an invite-only service, and brings in an email address that you can sign up with that'll give you a Facebook.com email address at your user ID. So if you haven't signed up for a user ID, you might want to do that.
But you don't have to use it because clearly Facebook wants to not be some sort of new email system. They want to just distinguish themselves as a whole new way to connect with people. It's not email.
Yeah.
You can use it like email if you want, but we don't think that email is actually the way of the future. It's more of a messaging contact.
Yeah, let me run down sort of the summary, and then we can talk about what we think of this. Facebook will filter messages that come into your Facebook.com email address based on your friend list. So by default, anybody that you are a friend with or a friend of friend, if you've set that setting, will go into tier one. Those are the first ones you'll see.
Right.
Anything that's coming from a group you're a member of or a fan page you follow will go into tier two. And then anything that's junk will go into tier three. And you can move things back and forth between those tiers. You can manage it to say like, yeah, I'm friends with this person, but I don't really care about getting a whole lot of emails from them, so I'm going to move them down to tier two. Or I'm a huge fan of the BMX bicycle site. I want that to go into tier one. But it's not meant to be where you do your email. Mark Zuckerberg said, as Sarah mentioned, we're not trying to replace Gmail and Yahoo. They are, however, going to integrate it into chat and text messaging. So the idea is wherever you are, you'll get these messages. If you're on your phone, you can get a push notification from your app. If you're on Facebook.com, email messages will show up in a chat box. And it'll all be there in your history. Doesn't matter how you sent it, whether it was by text, whether it was by chat, or whether it was by email, all your interactions with the other person will show up in a history that you can look back on and refer to.
So there's no need for a subject line anymore. It's just how you interact with that person.
They're like little blips, little messages. They say they've gotten rid of the subject line. They're not importing that.
Well, it's also, imagine,
you know, little messages.
Tom, you and I, we've maybe had some text messages. I am with each other, and sometimes it's the email. Remember, me asking you, well, what was that link? And you're like, did I am it to you or did I email it to you? It would kind of get rid of trying to figure out what conversation and what mode of communication we were using because it's all in one place.
It attempts to unify all of the communication,
that
more or less, that
like.
You have with a particular person, whatever that platform
right.
may be.
And it gives you an interesting spam control because it defaults to using your friends list as a white list. So you've got those three tiers I talked about. You can change that. You can say only accept messages from friends of friends, in which case you won't get any spam unless that spam is coming from friends of friends.
Right.
Or you can even say, only give me messages from friends so that you don't, if somebody who is not on your friend list sends you an email address or sends you an email to that Facebook.com address, it bounces. It's only your friends that get through. So it's much more restrictive than email. There's a lot of speculation since this announcement was made about whether this is Facebook trying to get you to do all of your communicating through Facebook or not. I think it would be a really bad idea to have this become popular.
Oh, of course.
Because then all of your communication is in Facebook's hands. You've got it all in one place. And granted, that could be true of Gmail and Yahoo and Hotmail as well, but it seems like they want to, like, we want to take your text messages, we want to take your instant message, we want to take all of this stuff and consolidate, which is a great thing, but then you're relying on Facebook for everything. And if you want to leave Facebook, can you take all that
also,
stuff?
Also, you know, the idea, this way of communicating differently is great for us, but sometimes email is used formally for the right reasons.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. if I'm applying for a job and they want an email, I mean, that's email can be formal and it can be fine. I mean, I wouldn't want to get rid of that option.
Yeah, absolutely true.
On a privacy sense, I hate the idea that all of this in one place, where at least as it is today, you know, they'd have to subpoena your ISP for your email and your cellular carrier for your text message and all of those different things. But with Facebook, I don't know. I just kind of get the idea that the feds could just walk up into Facebook and be like, "Yo, we need everything on this guy."
That could happen with a Gmail. That could happen with a Yahoo.
Right.
You just think that Facebook would be more likely to give in to that?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't trust Facebook.
Because they'd have
it's
so
more
many
a matter
more.
Of perception,
I
think,
yeah,
right?
Something that you might text to somebody, you may not send it to them via Gmail. So if it was the Facebook, mm-hmm. you know, the bundle,
yeah,
then
there's
maybe there's just more communication that you wouldn't have thought would be out there.
And there's separate levels of communication. Like you said, you know, you've got your formal email, you've got your Facebook, you know, pokes and wall posts and messages, and then you've got your, you know, like your
Are
your
you actually poking
messages.
Anybody
no,
on
I'm
Facebook?
No, I'm not poking anyone. Okay, I'm good. Joking. But
worst feature ever.
Yeah. Is that still around, by the way?
It is. People poke me every so often, and then I unfriend them immediately.
you can never talk about Facebook's poking service without
Snicker
having someone take you out of context.
Yeah. Except what I love here is that Facebook's saying, "Oh, but you know, it's email's too formal," and yet, "Oh, but we've got new Microsoft Office like built into the new inbox."
Yeah. So if you have an attachment like a Word or a PowerPoint attachment, it will open in the Microsoft Office format.
Because we know Microsoft Office is like so laid back and chill, totally not formal at all. Sarcasm. I'm sorry.
No, that's sorry.
What helps all the people
no
who are
to that because it's dead on.
Yeah,
it also helps people who are like, well, you know, I get a lot of doc attachments, and that's why I need to use Google Docs because I can look at all that stuff within Gmail.
Right. When you think about
so
it
now
like
you
that,
don't have
like
to do that.
I love the Google Docs integration and how easy it is to share with my friends, but I don't know. You know, like Microsoft does have a great offering, and everybody's already on my Facebook anyway, so that's, you know, one less barrier to, you know, at least with the Gmail thing, with the Google Docs, there's always the problem of, oh, did I send it to your right email address? Is that the one that's linked to your Google account?
Yeah, that's always
been an
issue.
At least with the Facebook, I know if I shared an Office document with them on Facebook, we could all collaborate and I wouldn't have to think about it, except it's again, Microsoft and Facebook, and you said it's a perception thing, you know, Microsoft and Facebook versus Google.
I think
also depends on how it works, how it looks.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, like I said, the invites are going out slowly
mm-hmm.
right now. People who got an invite by being at the event, for instance, have invited people.
I've been invited, but nothing on Facebook is showing me. I've logged out a couple times. I don't see anything different.
You can invite yourself through their help
page.
You can request an invite.
Oh, right. Yeah. If you go to facebook.com/about/messages while logged into Facebook, you can actually ask for an invite. Doesn't mean you'll get one right away, but at least puts you in the queue for it. I think taking the perception of Facebook aside, taking the question of how much will people use this aside, and just looking at it technically, the idea of giving you the option of using email to send messages in and out of Facebook is a good thing. It's more open.
Totally.
It's another way to access Facebook. If I'm in my Gmail and I know, I want to post to Darren's wall, instead of going to facebook.com and opening up and then finding Darren and posting the wall, I can just send to darren@facebook.com.
Yeah. And you already know it's Darren Kitchen because we've already created our usernames back in, you know, last December or whatever it was, but we all like rushed to get that username. So there you go. And what is it, fb.com?
FB.com is actually the new corporate email that they bought the domain from the Farm Bureau, and they're using that for their corporate mail. And they used to have Facebook.com for their corporate mail. All of their employees have to give up their Facebook.com accounts now, or you only have Facebook.com accounts with their Facebook accounts, and their corporate mail will become FB.com.
Okay.
So they're basically prioritizing their users above themselves.
Hmm.
Nice. Well, there are a lot more users than there are employees.
Yeah.
So probably a good idea.
And Yahoo did this. Yahoo.com is the mail for users,
yes,
not the mail for corporate. Tech TV, we didn't
Tech
do this
TV
for
Corp.
users, but Tech TV Corp was our corporate email.
Yep.
TechTV.com was our public email.
That's right.
HTC Trophy will be coming to Verizon in early 2011. This is the long-anticipated Windows Phone 7 on Verizon that everyone's been talking about for years.
Waiting for this one for quite a while.
Actually, this is coming from Engadget. According to them, a special offer for Microsoft employees has been circulating, valid through December 31st, 2010. If you're a Microsoft employee who renews your contract with Verizon instead of accepting another carrier's Windows Phone 7, you will get the Verizon HTC Trophy in early 2011. Doesn't even give you a date. But it says they'll reserve that for you for $200, and you'll get it as soon as it launches.
Yeah. And it's a quad-band global phone. So, you know, CDMA, yeah. GSM, the whole nine.
So this is limited to Microsoft employees. None of us can get it. They can order it by December 31st. But it does mean that this phone will exist and presumably sold to the public, right?
We'll have to find other ways to break SD cards.
No, only if you work at Microsoft.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, look what I have. Guess where I work.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have another cryptic tease from Apple. This one coming on their website, and it's not a press event. Apple.com, if you go there right now, says, tomorrow is just another day, period, that you'll never forget.
Sentence fragment.
Thank you. Think different.
Mm. All right, so tomorrow's just another day, like any other Tuesday, but we'll never forget it.
Yeah.
But by saying that, even if it's the dumbest announcement in the world, we'll still never forget it because it'll be that day
that Apple told us
so we wouldn't forget it, and whether or not it's cool, we won't.
They have
clocks.
So they've
won.
They have clocks up here that say 7 a.m. California time, 10 a.m. New York time, 3 p.m. London time, and midnight Tokyo. So assuming that this is the time of the thing happening, whatever it is, it'll happen at 7 a.m. Pacific tomorrow.
Maybe it's a reminder system built into iTunes, huh?
Dang.
It'll wake you up in the morning.
It's a brand new iCal. Or maybe the new announcement
new logo.
Is iTunes has fixed the problem with daylight savings time in the iPhone.
You'll never forget to go to that place. Again,
iCal with social networking built in, and it knows your friends in New York, and it's like, hey, you know, Jason's waking up at 10 a.m. for you.
For
push,
you.
Push your ping updates to Facebook email.
Oh, man. Gene Munster issued a note to investors Monday saying he thinks that the announcement will probably be a cloud-based iTunes service that would allow content streaming to internet-connected devices. This seems to make the most sense. They've been building out a data center in Maiden, North Carolina. They bought Lala that used to allow you to do just this. You would upload all of your music and be able to access it through lala.com. And there haven't been any reports of deals signed, new deals signed, between the record companies and Apple. So we wouldn't necessarily see a subscription service unless there was a new deal signed. The most likely thing is that Apple's saying, look, Lala had figured out how to put up stuff and stream it. We're going to do that. The problem is if they do that, they're treading on legal territory because mp3tunes.com did exactly that and has been sued and they're still in court.
Well, just to speculate here, I mean, they just announced all this beautiful new iPod hardware. We're coming up in the holiday season. To give it that extra oomph, wouldn't it be perfect to bring out just in time for Christmas a streaming music solution that would tie into these?
Not without a deal with the music industry.
But what you're speculating on is a streaming music service where it just uses your own iTunes library, right?
Right.
Well, can't you already do that with apps on iOS devices anyway?
Sure, there's lots of third-party ways to do this, but MP3Tune's brilliance was it was a system. Lala's brilliance is we take care of it all. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to go search around and find anything.
Okay.
It's one of those things where, yeah, this is totally possible already, but if you're in iTunes already, this is going to add it. My guess would be it would be tied into MobileMe.
Okay.
You'd have to have a MobileMe subscription, and then they'll add the ability to store your iTunes music on MobileMe and access it from any device that's MobileMe authorized.
Man, they just love to throw whatever they... I mean, like, if your speculation pans out, that's just even more thrown into iTunes. That wonderful, beautiful... What is it?
Bloated.
Up to a gig now?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, this will make iTunes twice as big.
Yeah.
Also, thanks to TapChews in the chat room for tipping us off. Wall Street Journal reporting that Apple iTunes is going to get rights to the Beatles. tomorrow.
Oh, come on. That's
so
not
you think you hit the Apple site
actually,
and there's going to be a big Beatles
promo
on it?
How can we not throw this
if
rumor
If that around. Was yeah, the announcement tomorrow, I would be thrilled. I would actually be really, really happy if that was the announcement tomorrow. Just because
we could be done with
it. It's the mythical creature that wasn't actually real.
Yep. It's walking along with unicorns right now.
Yes.
Well, now, wait a minute.
It's coming out when Duke Nukem Forever releases.
Tomorrow is Just Another Day, which is a Paul McCartney reference to the song It's Just Another Day.
And it's sort of... It's not like the Beatles reference that anyone would just know.
If you're
that,
still
I, that, I consider myself a Beatles hill. Fan, but I didn't.
I remember their music
first.
Event from last
Obscure.
Year having enough of a tie-in like that, like that loose.
That
as
can't
well.
Be no. the announcement.
We'll know tomorrow.
This is
well,
like a Paul
yeah, a lot
is
of people
thing.
Will know by the time they listen to this. So let's go ahead and move on and thank our sponsor, Ford. You probably remember when Leo went out to Dearborn last July and checked out the Ford plant out there that's been in action since the 1900s. The facility in Dearborn is 1.75 miles long, 1/2 mile wide, rooftops covered with succulents, that'd be plants, which help keep the facility cool during the summer, reduces energy costs, and adds plant surface area to the planet. Ford also uses an asphalt paving material, which enables rainwater to run through to the ground. That helps the environment. And they've also created the EcoBoost V6 engine, which is a powerful engine, 365 horsepower, standard in the Taurus show. It delivers a ton of power, the power of a V8. And you've probably heard us talk about the 2011 Ford Fiesta. This car is the most fuel-efficient compact car on the road today. Has an EPA-estimated 40 highway miles per gallon. That's about what I get from my Prius. It's actually probably better on average. Through the decades, Ford has been an innovator, and the 2011 Fiesta is no exception. From the assembly line that Henry Ford innovated in the 1900s to all the innovations Ford brings to the market today, the EcoBoost engine in the Taurus show, the 2011 Fiesta, and of course, voice-activated Ford Sync. You know, we've talked about that, the in-car communication and connectivity system. We invite you to stop by a dealer and drive a new Taurus SHO, the show, or Ford Fiesta this week. See what innovations at Ford are all about, and we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. So, we now know why there's no Netflix app for Android.
Well,
apparently, it's the openness. They say that they don't like the fact that they have to put DRM on all of these videos, but if they're going to get streaming video approval from the studios for TV shows and for movies, they have to put DRM on them. They kind of sort of wink and seem to non-verbally indicate, like, we know it's stupid. But it's the only way we can get the deals. And the problem with Android is there is not a universal DRM solution because it's open. So there's different implementations.
So they have to go to everybody who makes the phones and figure out the solution.
Yeah, it's
which
right.
is,
phone
I mean,
by phone solution.
Even with just the big vendors, that's like 10, 12 different deals.
So that's why there's a Netflix app for iOS. There's a Netflix app for Windows Phone 7. But there is not a Netflix app for Android. They say they will make them for specific phones, but you won't be able to just release one into the market.
Right. It's similar to the reason that you don't have Netflix on Ubuntu or Linux, for that matter, without having to go through a bunch of hoops, run it through like emulation and wine and all that fun stuff, is, you know, because it's open. You can have DRM or you can have open. You can't have both. And the way that it works with Android is, well, yeah, sure, it's open until Google gives it to the carriers. The carriers then customize it, you know, put their little branding and fun stuff on it, and then compile it and put it out to their phones. So really, it's fragmented because the version that's on your Droid X is not the same that's on my, you know, Droid or your Droid 2 or your Incredible or your whatever you have.
A similar issue with Android is also reported today on Slashdot. Security researchers have demonstrated a vulnerability in the browser because with Android, you have to authorize an app to install itself.
Yeah.
Or but once you've authorized that, it can install other apps.
Right.
So the browser, because it can go to a third-party website, if that website can exploit a security hole, could theoretically, and they've demonstrated it, install other apps without your knowledge.
Because the browser thinks it's updating a plugin, and that's part of the browser already. And since you already have authorized the browser, then there you go, right? Some additional code. Thankfully, Android, as we just mentioned with Netflix, is fragmented enough that this isn't going to affect every phone and every version.
So that the fragmentation actually protects it in this instance.
In this instance. Still,
to a certain level.
Yeah.
They could also try to trip you up and get you to download an app. The example used here in the Slashdot posting is Angry Birds Bonus Level. Once you downloaded and installed a quest questionable app, then that app could do the same thing.
Yeah, John Oberheide did a demo of this Angry Birds bonus level app in the Android marketplace. And when you install it, it also, in the background, goes ahead and installs a fake toll fraud and a fake contact stealer and a location tracker. Not real versions of any of these, you know, malicious software, but just as a demonstration and proof of concept.
Worse.
Yeah.
I don't know who this Dave Morin and Sean Fanning think they are.
Morin.
Yeah, I know. But I couldn't mispronounce Fanning. It just,
right.
It just doesn't
Fanning.
Lend it. Fanning. But they have launched a new company called Path, along with some other famous backers. And it is a social network for photos that limits you to only 50 contacts.
For anyone who hasn't fooled around with Path yet, it's getting a lot of attention online because it's like the antithesis of the way social networks work. By limiting people to only having 50 friends, it's very similar to Instagram. I mean, just to compare, if you're on
Without
an iPhone.
Without the filters.
Yeah, no filters, but I mean, it works very much the same way as Instagram, but instead of trying to get as many people to see your pictures as possible, you choose your 50 closest friends or people you trust the most or people you want to share the most with, and that's it. That's your cap. And they're getting some backlash. People going, this is interesting. Because it's supposed to mask, not mask, but it's supposed to emulate the way that our actual human condition works.
Yeah.
Where we can't really have that many more than maybe like 50 close friends at a time because humans can't handle that. So it's supposed to go against the whole amassing a group of friends that aren't really your friends.
Nobel-winning economist Daniel Kahneman gave a talk at TED conference about giving a network, not taking a network. And they've taken that idea here to say that, you know, they're going with Path, you're going to capture daily moments that mean something to your friends.
Right.
So unlike Twitter, which gets bashed for like, don't tell me you're eating a sandwich, I don't care. This would be like, I'm going to take a picture of this Reuben sandwich because my friends know how much I love Reubens. And they're going to go, oh, there's Tom eating a Reuben again.
The problem with this, though, is that it's photo-based. Mm-hmm. And when you take a good photo, you want to share it with everybody. Now, I know that there's certain, you know, if I took a picture of you guys, you know, holding up something on the iPad that it's like an inside joke that no one else is going to get, I get that. But for the most part, when I'm sharing stuff on Instagram, say, even if I don't apply a filter, I'm sharing it because it's a cool picture and I think that I'm going to get, you know, like cool cred points from people going, oh, that's a really good picture that Sarah took. There aren't that many instances where I'd want to share something private enough that 50 people I choose to be part of my network would all get.
I don't know.
You know? Maybe if you could create multiple accounts, like a family path. That way my family gets my pictures that it's only good for them. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if it was more like Facebook groups, I could see it being more useful to me.
Yeah, that's where I don't see it. Because, I mean, Facebook privacy is already difficult enough. But for me, this is, you know, I kind of like the idea because I don't know about you guys, but like, you know, it seems like sometimes the back channel even needs a back channel of its own. And sometimes things are just way too public. But
there's another interesting thing going on here in Path, which is the idea that when I choose to share with someone, it's one way from me to that person. It's not automatically reciprocal, and that person doesn't have to accept. If I say I want to share with Darren Kitchen, everything I take is then shared to Darren unless he takes action to pause me and get me out of his stream. It also means I don't see Darren's stuff until Darren decides to share back with me. So if you share with 50 people, you may not be receiving shares from the same 50 people.
Right.
The idea is you might say, like, well, that sounds horrible.
Yeah,
I can just push
anyone.
Myself on somebody. You only can share with people in your contact list on your mobile device. It's the iPhone right now.
Right. But their contact, the point of contact isn't their phone number. It's their email address. And that's just kind of...
Well, actually, no. It could be phone number or email
address. Oh, it
address.
Can be.
It'll pull from contact.
Oh, really?
It's whatever your contact info
you see,
is.
I did it on the web and not because there's no Android app that
I found.
You
know what I did is I downloaded Path on my iPhone 4, which is actually a review unit that I don't have any contacts in, so it was completely useless to me. But that's where I want Path because the camera's better.
Gotcha.
You know? I also used an email address that is largely a spam address that I just sort of push out when I don't want to share my Gmail. So now I've got people who I've corresponded with over the years for some reason or another, or who at least have corresponded with me, that now I'm having to pause one by one in
Path. What you mean. I mean, I've only been on it for a day, but already this Tom Merritt guy keeps sending me these photos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just pictures of my lunch. I love Reubens.
But that's,
we'll talk after
Tom
the show.
His love for Reubens.
But in all seriousness, I think I used it wrong. I think this is an interesting different place, which is I signed up with the email address I used to sign up for new stuff to protect me from spam. Yes. And that is not what this is designed. I should have signed up with my most personal email address.
Right.
So maybe you can change it. But it's taking a page from Apple and saying, we're going to keep these things simple. We're going to restrict you in order to provide better functionality instead of being like throwing everything at you.
It does sound kind of exclusive in the sense that you can only have 50 people. Yeah. And you know,
well, that's their hook. That's why, I mean, Instagram has enjoyed rapid popularity. I mean, they're amassing like 100K new users per week. And so Path is going, we seem like Instagram, but we're kind of the opposite of Instagram when you really get down to it. So we're not a competitor. We're approaching things differently. And that's where some people are going to love it and some people are just not going to get it. I think they're asking a lot of the way we have been groomed to use social networks. For us to just start going at it from a different
perspective. Doesn't mean it's bad, but
it's hard for me to get my head around
it. Yeah. The allure is that it's a private social network. Like more restrictive than other ones that you may have just, you know, added, oh, that guy from high school, and then, you know, the whole friend of friend thing and the everyone thing, and this sounds like the privacy thing is easier. But again, remember, people, that, you know, there's always, you know, saving the image out, put it on an image share site. So again, take caution in what you post. Even on a quote unquote private
50 of your most private friends have another 50 friends, and we all know how that works.
Yeah, and so on. Today, Amazon EC2, which is one of their shared cloud-based services, is providing cluster GPU instances. So another example of the graphic processor becoming the CPU. It's an instance in the Amazon cloud that provides you with the power of two NVIDIA Tesla Fermi M2050 GPUs. Now, we don't need to go too deep into this because there's probably only a few of you out there that are really going to use this. But despite the fact that this is great for programming, for running Ruby on Rails, for delivering web services and Ajax and all this other stuff you do on EC2, there's another use.
Well, of course.
For this.
GPUs are a wonderful device because they crunch numbers in such a different way than our general purpose CPUs. And one of the fun things that we've been using them for quite a while is actually breaking encryption. And Thomas Roth, a great German hacker over at stacksmashing.net, has put together a little demonstration of how he used Amazon's EC2 cloud to build a gigantic Beowulf cluster of password cracking to crack SHA-1, which is a hashing algorithm that the NSA developed, and it's kind of got some issues, and it can be cracked. And if you have enough hardware to throw at it, you can crack it pretty quickly, which he was able to do.
So instead of having to have all that hardware yourself,
he just rented some hardware from Amazon. So thank you, Amazon. You're going to make, you know, cracking MD5 and SHA-1 and all sorts of other fun things so much easier, you know? Forget the rainbow tables.
Is this a real danger? Do we need to worry about this? Is password cracking going to run rampant now?
No. As long as you use a different password on every site, you're all good.
Well, as long as you but what about the people who don't?
Well, you need to stop that practice immediately, because if somebody gets your hash on one of those sites, then it's all null and void.
All right. Let's thank our other sponsor, Slingbox.com. They helped bring us the coverage of breaking news about the Facebook messaging this morning. Slingbox lets you watch your home TV wherever you go. If you are in Shanghai and you've got an internet connection, you can watch your home TV on your laptop, on your BlackBerry, on your iPhone, now on your Windows Phone 7. Sarah and I saw the new iPad app for Slingbox. Lets you watch your home TV on your iPad. That's coming, they said, cranberry sauce time frame, right?
Right, yes.
Was that the quote?
Yeah, they were saying, yes, cranberry sauce soon is the term for in a couple of weeks.
So hopefully in a couple of weeks, definitely by the end of the year. But what Slingbox, if you don't know, you plug it in, you just plug the box, you buy the box, so you go to Best Buy maybe, you buy the box, you plug it into your television service, you plug it into the internet, and then you install the app on your devices, and you're able to watch live TV wherever you go. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you, or visit slingbox.com/twit. It'll revolutionize the way you travel. If you like to watch sports, if you like to watch movies, if you've got big shows that you don't want to lose contact with, check them out, slingbox.com/twit.
Magical.
On to the news for you. Whether or not you're excited about Facebook's email plans, you can't argue with their success. Well, you can, but you'll lose. They just became the third largest tech company based on market valuation. They passed up Yahoo. They passed up Expedia. Facebook is now worth about $41 billion, putting it behind only Amazon at number two at $74.4 billion, and very distantly behind the number one Google at $192.9 billion.
Speaking of Facebook, they got blocked for several hours in Saudi Arabia over the weekend. And at first, the Communications and Information Technology
That's a tough one, man.
Thank you. The
CITC. Just call it CITC.
The CITC told the Associated Press or the AP, on condition of anonymity, that Facebook would be temporarily blocked and for not conforming to the kingdom's values. And yesterday, after Facebook had been restored, the CITC then officially said that the site had been blocked accidentally.
Oops.
And perhaps an attempt to steal just a little tiny decibel of thunder from Facebook, which is really loud right now, AOL announced on Sunday that its revamped webmail system has moved into limited beta. The new Gmail-like interface features a quick bar at the top for sending short emails, instant messages, which pop up in a very Google Chat-like window, text messages, and a sidebar of smart view content previews from confirmed contacts, which seems really familiar. So, Woot, AOL.
I think I may have heard part of this morning from Facebook. A startup in North Carolina called StatSheet has launched a network of 345 sports sites, one for each Division I college basketball team in the United States. Every story on every site written by StatSheet's content algorithms. Founder Robbie Allen said the posts are completely auto-generated. The only human involvement is with creating the algorithms that generate the posts. And the posts read just like any sports article you'll read in almost any daily paper. Like, they really got it down. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, poor sports writers.
I know. They've been replaced by an algorithm.
They've been replaced by a tiny shell script. Aw. Well, check this out. Google is preparing to build a huge new corporate campus with a fitness center and daycare and... First time in the Bay Area, check this out. Silicon Valley is going to enjoy some employee housing. Whoa. That's right. 1.2 million square feet to add to Google's real estate. The commercial real estate VP, Gregory M. Davies, said that he doesn't want to call it the company town, but it's not far from it, in his opinion.
Oh, my soul.
If I live in Google housing for 4 years, do I get an accredited degree from a university of some kind?
Well, you know,
they're building college.
Yeah, well, you think about it this way, right? When you're, you know, that fresh out of school kid that, you know, wants to get that job at Google, but you can't afford to live in the Bay Area, that's great that, hey, they got a place for you. But at the same time, if you get fired... Kind of getting evicted doesn't sound like fun.
Good. You know, a little page from 1800s mining operations is not a bad idea, Google. TiVo's taking a page from the cell phone business, or is it a call? If you sign a two-year contract to pay $20 a month for the TiVo service, you can get a TiVo Premiere for free. Shorten the contract to 1 year, and it's only $100. The TiVo Premiere XL, which is their higher-end version, runs you $300 on a one-year deal, which is still cheaper than you'd pay in retail. You can also get a TiVo without a contract, unlike cell phone companies, for full price, and then you only pay $13 a month for the service, and there's still that $400 lifetime option.
Attention, Google shoppers. Product search is going local. Starting today, Google users will see two new links on search results pages for product searches, stores nearby, and an inventory update, which will advise shoppers if a product is in stock, in limited quantities, or out of stock. You can also get a list of nearby stores that carry that product with Google Maps for handy directions. And I actually tried this out because I'm sort of in the market for a D7000. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up, and sure enough, there is nothing near me. well, near us here in the cottage.
At least you know now. And that's
but the feature is there, and it's live, and it's pretty cool.
Nice. Well, check it out. The levels of spam have fallen by almost 50% since August 2010. According to figures released by Symantec, they show that the amount of email messages over the net has dropped 47% in 3 months. And the decline was put down to the arrests of those behind spam-sending botnets and intelligence that saw spam-sending systems shut down.
Sadly, though, this stuff usually just bounces back after a couple months. So
yeah.
Expect to see that. All right, let's finish up with Kinect craziness, according to Crunch Gear. This is a new way of hacking the Kinect, which has exploded since Adafruit put out the challenge. This one uses the Kinect to combine its depth-aware system with a normal visual and create sort of this crazy 3D video.
It's beautiful because, I mean, it knows... the geometry of the room, it already knows what the room looks like, so it can map those textures to the geometry.
It's a little crazy looking. Like, the guy's only got half a head.
Well, that's because he only has one Kinect doing this. Imagine if you had a room with, like 6 or 8 Kinects pointed in different directions, and they were all mapped out to kind of put the mesh together and map the textures.
Would you really need 6 or 8?
I don't know. I don't know how many you would need. I mean, maybe 3 would do it, but the more you add, the better your resolution would be.
The real problem, very minimum 2, one on each side.
Yeah, because you can't see behind him. So when they try to swivel 360 degrees, you see his face on the back of his head, and it gets all nightmare-like.
But. Yeah. Well, you know, that's because he's 2D. I don't know if you knew this about him.
Yeah, he actually exists in 2D.
He's a sprite.
That's true.
You know, he's a side-scroller.
We should point that out.
He can only run to the right.
He's actually the inspiration of the original Mario.
Oh.
Shall we move on to the calendar?
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Microsoft launches new casual games hub for the casual gamer and all of us. Or not. If you're a casual.
You know, this is like the Bing Microsoft Live online gaming.
Yeah. AMD is promising Radeon HD 6900 series launch the week beginning December 13th, which is not that far.
Doesn't mean you'll be able to buy it. They haven't said that part, but they're going to launch it.
Galaxy Tab's coming to AT&T November 21st. $650, that's the price on that. U.S. Cellular, also on the 19th, for two packages, a $399 and a $599. U.S. Cellular, not even a nationwide carrier.
White Sox fans will know it well.
And I've never heard of them, so...
But
if you're in
the Midwest, you know U.S. Cellular. So it's funny that they're getting it before AT&T.
Yeah, it is.
AT&T's really dragging their heels.
I'd love to know the details behind that. Spotify intends to launch its music service in the U.S., by Christmas, they're just waiting on that free service part of it to still get worked out.
Yeah, they say if they didn't want to offer the free service, they'd be able to launch it today, but they think they can bring it home by Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, I think great. The free service is they need that.
That's kind of the thing that pushes it over the top.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I agree. And finally, just a reminder, we want you guys to help us pick the best moments of TWiT and, of course, TNT, this show. So if you just go to twit.tv/bestof. I don't know why I have such a hard time with that. It's very easy. Best of. You can pick your show, pick your show episode, time within the show, funny thing that Tom said, and so on and so forth, and help us get a cool best of reel going.
All right, let's finish up with a voicemail and video mail. The first one is a mail of voice. Both of these are opinions on cutting the cord.
And both of them are male.
Hey, TNT crew. This is Steven from Oswego, Illinois. I was just listening to your show there recently in the morning. And I have one thing to say about the whole getting rid of cable. Non-technical wife and or kids. I could get rid of cable in a heartbeat if I didn't have these things. But I do. So Comcast gets my $50 a month. Thanks a lot. Love the show.
This is probably a very common issue.
The Luddite kid and wife?
Well, a family member feeling technical and ready to embrace the new set-top boxes, cutting the cord, and the wife saying, no, I want to watch Dancing with the Stars live.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean...
And what do you do?
My wife, Eileen Rivera, she's technically savvy.
Very.
But we haven't cut the cord because there are things she wants to watch live that you can't get over the air.
Right.
They're on cable channels, and she's like, no, I want to watch this stuff live. So, you know, we're very close to it. But I know what he's saying, which is we want to have that dead simple box that nobody has to know anything different. They can just pick up the remote, and they can start watching stuff. And I think the Roku's the closest
great.
To that, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So anyway, that's one opinion on this. We also have a second opinion coming from Phil, who has a different issue.
Hey.
Hi.
TNT crowd.
Hey.
I heard
hey,
you
Phil.
Talking on, I believe it was Thursday, about cutting the cord. Just want to say that down in my man cave, I have Roku, I have DirecTV, and I have Hulu Plus. But I also have 4 more televisions in the home. So if I was to cut the cord, that would mean everybody would come down to my man cave and invade my space.
Protect.
Don't see that happening.
The man cave.
He's in his man cave.
That looked like a cave,
well, too. What Phil, now, if Phil B. and Steven, you know, are on the right train of thought, or what I think they're trying to say here is if they didn't have, you know, the blasted spouse and kids, they wouldn't need four TVs. One Roku would do the job. They just need Kitchen and Howell to litigate, do their kitchen, and get that squared away, right?
Yeah, well, we can do that. I think even, you know, forgetting the wife and kid, which you should not get rid of.
Please don't.
Hide your kids or hide them. Your wife.
That's not the solution. I think
technology is great.
But even if you lived alone, you might want a TV in the bedroom and a TV out front, and then you've got to buy two Rokus. That is one issue here.
They are kind of cheap,
though. A set-top box always provides, which is, well, if I get it in one room, that doesn't automatically, I have to get another box for the other room. Cable has gotten around this by providing deals that's like, oh, well, we won't charge you for the extra boxes. We'll give you a box in every room. But when you buy a Roku, that only gives you one room. When you buy a box at Google TV, same thing.
You hear that, Roku? Two-for-one special.
I'm paying extra for a cable box in my bedroom. I mean, they still get you. That's why their prices are high. It's like they are charging you per box.
Yeah, and that's also
they give you these bogus little deals that make you feel like you're getting the second box for free, but you're just still paying more.
Yeah, and with Wi-Fi, you don't have to run cables and stuff. That's fine. But maybe the solution is internet-connected TVs that have the software like Roku, TiVo, or all this stuff built in.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That does help.
Or buy an Xbox for every room in the house. All right. Thank you all. Darren, good to have you back on Mondays.
Great to be here.
As always.
Check out HAK5.org.
And don't forget to check out our website, twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call like Steven did, 260-TNT-SHOW. Email those video links to us, too, like Phil B. did, tnt@twit.tv. We'll see you tomorrow.